Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 53 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, and on Facebook, Pinterest, and Goodreads as Summer Newland. Today is Monday, April 20th, and it's about 7:30 in the morning. I have a dentist appointment this morning, so I don't have to rush around. So I have a little bit of extra time and thought I would put out a recording. I think it's kind of funny that after this, hiatus, not unintended hiatus, where I went a few weeks without a podcast, all of a sudden I have a flurry of podcasts. But I'm trying to maintain a schedule when possible, and I would typically try to record on Sunday. Yesterday was a little busy, but I knew I had time this morning, so I put it off, and I'm recording today. So, let's see. I mentioned where you can find me, and you can also find our Ravelry group on Ravelry, and it's the Kitchen Stitches group. So hopefully this will be a relatively short episode. I don't have a ton to talk about in terms of knitting or in the kitchen or anything like that. I do have a little bit of what I've been up to that I'll stick in at the end if you want to stick around for that. So let's move right on into the knitting because that's what you're here for, right? Works in progress. I don't have any finished objects this week, so we'll just skip right over that. Works in progress. Let's talk about the ones that have been on the needles for a while, and then I will talk about a couple of new projects that I'm working on. So I worked a little bit on Cerise. Actually, let me backtrack for just a minute. I was out of town for 4 days this week, so most of these projects only got a tiny bit of work on, whereas one got quite a bit. So I'll mention that when I get to it. My kitties are very interested in the wall right now. I'm not really sure what, but you might hear some scratching and meowing because apparently there's something that's very, very interesting. Okay, back to the knitting. Cerise. So this is the second pattern in Curls by Hunter Hammerson. I have been working on this for a little bit, and I'm using Dream and Color Starry in the Purple Rain colorway, which is a very, very, very dark purple. In most colors, in most lights, it looks black. But in the right right sunlight, you can see that it is actually a purple yarn. I am not enjoying this as much as I enjoyed the first curl. I don't know what it is about this pattern, but it's kind of a slog for me. I will keep working on it because I'm determined to do all of them. I don't know if I'll keep this one or if it will be a gift. I think I might have mentioned that in the last podcast, actually. I typically get maybe two rows done when I sit down with it. I think I might have gotten four rows or maybe a couple more done over the weekend. So it is getting some work on it, but not a ton. I'll be kind of glad when that one is over. I have down that I worked on my sock yarn blanket. I'm sure I did a little bit, but I'm not sure I did more than a square. Need to get back in that or it will never get finished. The Newton shawl, this is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey, and I am doing this in Dream and Color Everlasting in the henna colorway, which is kind of a reddish orange. I don't know exactly what color you would call that, but it's got some pops of magenta in there too. It's very, very pretty. And I've mentioned before, but Dream and Color has changed their Everlasting sock base, and this is the previous base. So I'm not sure what the difference is between these two, but I really like this base. So I'm kind of sad that they changed it, unless of course the new one's better. On this, I am on the edging, so it's a garter stitch. The body of it is a garter stitch shawl, and then it has a knitted on border. And I am think I am on early on in the second repeat of the border. I'm not actually sure that I've started that. I know I finished one repeat, and I may have started the second repeat of the first chart, but I'm not sure. And if I did, I'm only a couple of rows into that. I'm really enjoying this, and it's going to be lovely when it's done. I am also still working on the Yauza Wayette shawl, and I'm doing version 3. This is a paid pattern by Susan B. Anderson, and I'm using Miss Babs Yauza in the Blue Ridge colorway, which is mostly blue with some blue-green variegation in there. This is the project that I took with me for my evening knitting when I was in Austin last week for the TLA conference, Texas Library Association conference. I stayed with friends, so in the evenings there was a lot of knitting time while we sat and chatted or watched television or something like that. And I didn't pay attention to exactly how much I got done on that. I actually meant to weigh my ball when I got back just to kind of get an idea. But I worked on this quite a bit, and it's a completely mindless knit, and it is perfect for social situations, except for the fact that it's starting to get big. It's perfect for social situations when I'm sitting in my house or maybe someone else's house that I know very well. And then also a work in progress that has been on the needles for a while is my TGV. I didn't work on it I've worked on it since the last recording, but I didn't work on it most of last week because that is my work knitting. I have it up there for breaks and lunchtime. And I left it there, so I didn't bring it with me when I went to Austin. And I'm making good progress on that. I am on the ribbing. I think I was on the ribbing last time. And I'm probably about 4 or 5 rows into the ribbing. And while those rows take a really long time, it probably takes me probably close to 30 minutes to get through one row. At this point, because the rows are longer, they are using up the yarn faster. So this probably will be off the needles. At the very latest, it'll be off the needles at the end of May. But I suspect I'll be finished before then. So that's going well. And then I started 2 new projects. I started a pair of socks because I wanted something to stick in my bag while I was at the conference. I did do a little bit of knitting there. I'll talk about that in a second. Let's see. Let me tell you what the pattern was. So I started the 2-lane Highway Rage socks. I had seen Caffeinated Gert and Crafty Alley both doing these, I believe, in the Caffeinated Knitting podcast a while back. These are a paid pattern by Sarah Stevens from O Loops, and it is a super pattern for those times when you just need mindless knitting. It's just basically stockinette. It's got some slip stitches, and then it does have a twisted stitch somewhere. I'm not going to tell where. Don't want to give away the secret sauce. But anyway, I am almost to the heel on the first sock. Like I said, I did get a little bit of knitting time. I started these on probably Saturday or Sunday of last week, just because I wanted to have them cast on and ready to go. And then I had a hard time putting them down. They were so much fun. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I'm using another Crafty Girl Twinkle Sock in Gamut, which is one of those yarns that I had coveted. And when I happened to see her, she had a couple of extra skeins from a custom order that had been canceled. I snatched that up just like that. And I am just loving the yarn. It's beautiful yarn. It's soft, and it's so much fun to work with. So much fun that when I cast them on, I had a hard time stopping, and I had to restrain myself because, like I said, I wanted these for knitting when I was at the conference. And that worked well. There were a couple of times where I had downtime between sessions. Like the very first day that I got of the conference, I had a session, and then I had a break. And I'm trying to think if that's right. Or maybe, yeah, I think that's right. I left a session early because it was not relevant to me. And so I had a little bit of time and I went and sat outside there at the Austin Convention Center. There are some outside patios that overlook the city and it just happened to be a beautiful day. So I went and found a table and sat and knit for a little while and actually attracted another knitter. This woman walked up, saw me knitting and asked if she could sit down. And the first thing she said was, "Have you been to Hill Country Weavers?" Which of course is one of my absolute favorite yarn shops, which I did not actually make it to this trip. But, it turns out that she was a director of a small public library in Texas. So that was kind of a neat connection to make. So she was a relatively new knitter and, really enjoyed looking at the yarn and wrote down the name of the Etsy shop. And we chatted about knitting for a little while. And so that was nice. I had hoped that maybe I would run into her later in the conference and could show her the progress that I'd made over the week, but that didn't happen. And then sometimes I will knit in a session at a conference. It depends on how big the session is, how many people are there, and if I can sit somewhere that I'm not surrounded by other people, because I don't want to distract anybody with my knitting. So there were, I think maybe two sessions where I felt comfortable pulling out my knitting, maybe three. I think it was probably two. And then of course there are a couple of general sessions which are like keynotes and they do awards and things like that. And those were perfect for pulling out the knitting. So I did get quite a bit done. Like I mentioned, I am almost done with the heel. I'm almost to the heel on the first one. I suspect I'm within a couple of rows of doing that. I'm going to get that heel turned and then I'm going to stick them in the car. Even though I love them and I would love to just continue working on them, I want to have that car knitting and these will be fun to work on. I am going to Washington DC. I'm flying out on Sunday and I was debating whether or not to stick those in my bag, but I don't want to lose them. Although, maybe it would be safe, because the worst thing that would happen is that I would just lose a needle, because I could just rip the needle out. I don't think people generally have trouble with TSA taking their needles anymore, at least not, you know, on domestic flights, but there's always that possibility. Anyway, that's a tangent. I'll talk more about that trip in a few minutes. And then the other thing that I cast on was Felicity, which is a free hat pattern by Wynette Clyde. And I'm using Vice Brazen DK in the Park Avenue Yarns colorway. I bought this a couple of months ago when I went to Park Avenue Yarns in League City, which is south of Houston, with Diane, who is Suburban Stitcher, and Kat, who is Stitching Out Loud. We met up there and knit for a while, and I was actually really torn about this yarn. The colors are super vibrant. I had picked up just a gray, I believe, and then someone had picked up the green that is awesome. Vice is a local to Houston yarn dyer, and she had done custom colorways for Park Avenue Yarns, which were a turquoise, a gray, a yellow, and a green. And I had picked up the gray at first. Someone had picked up the green, which was just this beautiful grass green. And I was really interested in that, but I wasn't sure what I would make with it. Although, in retrospect, I think I could probably do a nice cowl with that, but I really wanted something for a hat. And Kat actually convinced me to get the variegated, which I would not have chosen because I just was not sure what to do with that, what I would do with that at all. But they had a pattern, they had a sample knit up with a lot of stockinette, and I really, really liked the way the yarn knit up. So that's what I ended up buying. And so it's the variegated with turquoise, green, yellow, and gray. Is there white? There may be a little bit of white, but it's where it's transitioning, I think, from the blue to the gray. And so I started knitting this hat, which is a very basic hat. It's a slouchy hat, but it has, it's just stockinette, so there's no ribbing. So it's got the rolled brim, and then it will end with this nice slouchy pattern, and it's really, really cute, and it's a really fast knit. I kind of thought it might take me a while, but it's not at all. I'm probably about to the point where you do some increases and then you do some decreases, and I'm probably about where I start the increases. And that's just for, I just cast that on yesterday. So I'm probably about 5.5 inches in, maybe not quite that. And I'm really loving this pattern. And I think I'm actually going to continue working on that this week and get it finished, because it would be a really nice hat to wear in Washington. Surprisingly, it's actually supposed to be kind of cool when I'm there at the end, or next week. So I might actually want something for my head, especially in the mornings. And this is so springy. It's just a perfect spring yarn. And I just think it will be very cute and very fun to wear. So hopefully I'll get that finished before my trip. So that is all of my knitting works in progress. It's a lot, but I, like I said, the only one I really, really worked on a lot was the Yauza Wayett shawl. And then that Felicity hat yesterday, and the socks while I was in sessions. So spinning. I believe the last time I recorded, the knitting portion of the episode, I was almost done with the Unwind Yarn Company Merino Tessa Silk in the Evergreen colorway. And I really wanted to get that finished before I left for Austin, and I did. I finished that last weekend, and I got about 260 yards of a sport weight 2-ply. I didn't wash it, or, you know, I didn't soak it because it was rainy that weekend. But yesterday it was pretty in the morning, or during most of the day anyway. And I washed it and let it dry, and it's just so pretty. It fluffed up a little bit, and it's just, it is absolutely gorgeous. I feel like I can finally call myself truly a spinner. The stuff that I look at, you know, the pictures that I post on Instagram, when I look at other people's pictures, mine looks like theirs. I look like I actually know what I'm doing, which in some ways I do. I mean, I'm not experienced, and I don't do a lot of basics. I've only done 2-plies, and I haven't experimented with lots of different techniques, but I'm making yarn that looks like yarn, and that's good enough for me right now. So that is what's, so I finished that on my Ladybug, and then I didn't immediately start anything else since I was going to be out of town. But of course, as soon as I got back, I think I may have started this actually on Friday. Let me think about that for a minute. I either started it Friday when I got home, I think I did, or at the very latest, it was Saturday morning. I think I actually started it on Friday morning though, or Friday afternoon, before I got home from Austin in the early afternoon and nobody was home yet from school. So I had a little bit of time by myself, and I think I started it then. And I did not say what it was. That is Into the World Targi in Fathom, which is, there's a very dark yarn. Fathom, you think about like the deep sea. So you've got this really dark teal, which is beautiful color, and it goes from that into, there's some really dark green, but there's also a kind of an olivey green, and then kind of a lighter, not a seafoam green at all, but kind of like the same olive green, but a lot lighter, kind of a almost a bronzy color. And it is really, really pretty. And this is the first time I've spun Targi, and I am enjoying it so much. The staple is longer, so I feel like it's going faster because I'm not having to draft as much. You know, it's, you know, one drafting, I don't know how to say that. It's like the staple is almost twice as long as merino, so I'm only having to draft half as often, if that makes sense at all. And it's not spin, oh, I probably could be spinning it thinner, but it's naturally wanting to spin just a little bit thicker than what I had been with the merino, which is fine. I think this will probably end up making closer to a worsted than a sport or a DK, maybe a DK. And I'm really happy with that. I'm just really enjoying working with the Targi. I think right now I could say that my favorites, I love the merino bamboo that I've done. I love the Polworth and I love the Targi so far. I've loved a lot of stuff, but those I think so far are my favorites. On my spindle, I'm still working on the bat. My mom made an SSK from Gail's Art, you know, a bunch of just little tidbits from Gail's Art. I have finished one turtle on my spindle and have done a little bit on the second one. And I did this in Austin. I actually took that with me and kept up my 15 minutes a day while I was there. So I made a little bit of progress on that. And that said, I was almost done with the Smoky Mountain Fibers Falkland the last time I recorded, but I still needed to apply it, and I have applied it, and I just need to soak it. I kind of forgot to do that yesterday. So that is it for my knitting and spinning. I have no enabling this week. I am kind of holding on to that. I thought about going to a yarn store when I was in Austin and kind of decided not to do that. But I will be going to Fiberspace in Alexandria when I am in the Washington, D.C. area next weekend. So I am super excited about that. So I was saving my money for that. In the kitchen, I have not been in my kitchen much this week, so I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I do have one, you know, kitchen mistake that I'll talk about real quick. We had pork chops and rice and something else the other night. What was the other thing? Oh, sweet potatoes. The sweet potatoes were really good. So I'll talk about that too. But we got a rice cooker recently, and I think I've used it twice, and my daughter's used it a couple of times, but I'm not super familiar with how to use it. And my husband was making rice, and I'm just not the biggest rice fan. I love rice at like Indian restaurants and Mediterranean restaurants, and I'll eat it, of course, with Thai food and Chinese food, but as far as making it and eating it with a meal, it's just not my favorite. So this was really kind of a purchase for them, and they eat it a lot more. Well, my husband was making rice, and this was the first time he had used it, so he was asking me how to do it. And it comes with a little scoop, and the container so the scoop holds about a cup. It says it's specialized for this rice cooker, so it's not an exact measurement based on our typical measuring spoons, or measuring cups. So I told him, you know, use one of those, and then there are lines in the container, the basin, I guess, for the steamer that tell you, you know, there, the bottom one is 3. So I was like, you know, fill that up to 3. Well, I forgot that he needed to actually put in 3 scoops of the rice. So he made the rice and it came out basically like a rice pudding. It was pretty nasty. So there's my mistake this week. However, I did, redeem myself because the sweet potatoes that I made with the pork chops were delicious. And all I did with that was chop them into about an inch size pieces, toss them with some olive oil, salt and pepper, and threw in some garlic cloves with that, which that didn't work too well. The garlic kind of burned. But you roast them, I think maybe at 400 for about, I think I did them for about 30 minutes, and they turned out delicious. They were kind of crispy. Oh, they were so good. Other than that, I made chunky peanut butter cookies yesterday. This is a Sally's Baking Addiction recipe from the cookbook that I have been working my way through. And these were really good. They're just fairly basic peanut butter cookies, but you use chunky peanut butter rather than smooth, and you add whole peanuts to the batter or the cookie dough. So instead of just little pieces or none at all, you have these big, I used honey roasted peanuts, and I wasn't sure how that would be. I wasn't sure how I would like that. I'm not the biggest fan of peanuts. I like peanut butter, and I will eat peanuts. I love boiled peanuts, but I'm not the biggest fan of just eating peanuts by themselves, but they worked really well in the cookie. So I would recommend that recipe. Again, I highly recommend the whole cookbook. And then let's see. So those are actually the only things that I've made. We are working on kind of developing a menu plan. You would think that after being a parent for 18 plus years and being married for almost 22 that we would have this part down, but no. I'm terrible at planning meals. So I'm trying to get a regiment down, kind of like I do for my books. Somebody's doing yard work, so I apologize if that is annoying. Nothing I can do about that. But we have meals planned for all of this week, and I'll talk about that next time I record. What I'm reading, I'm still reading The Queen of the Tearling by Erica Johansson. And let me see if I can pull that up really quick. I started this, I guess a couple of weeks ago. And it's kind of fantasy, kind of not dystopian exactly. I don't even know how to explain. So I'm going to read the description. Let me see. Alrighty. Here is the description from Amazon. Although the setting resembles medieval times, the story takes place far in the future. Following a mysterious cataclysmic event referred to as the Crossing, humans now exist without modern technology and have reverted back to feudalism. At the story's opening, Kelsey, the rightful Queen of the Tearling, turns 19, the age of ascension, and is escorted by the Queen's Guard from her forest home to claim her throne. Raised, educated, and protected by an elderly couple since birth, Kelsey possesses much book intelligence but lacks practical political knowledge. Nevertheless, she is everything one desires in a leader. She is strong, decisive, just, and possesses an inner strength that allows her to face any challenge placed in front of her. However, her challenges seem insurmountable and include the need to abolish the slave lottery that plagues her people. In an impressive start to a series, Johansson expertly incorporates magic necklaces, political intrigue, questions of honor, well-drawn characters, and a bit of mystery into a compelling and empowering story. As much as, understandably, left unexplained, it will be interesting to see where future installments take this series. So, that is actually a very, very good description. So, I am really, really enjoying this book. I was worried that I wouldn't finish it before I travel, and of course, I didn't finish it before going to Austin. I took it with me, but I didn't take it around the conference. It's a big hunk of a book. It's 400-something pages. I did read a little bit at nights, but not a whole lot, just because I was tired and I would read a couple pages and fall asleep. I've read a little bit over the weekend, but not as much as I would have liked. Most of my reading time comes on the bus, so I haven't been on the bus. I will hopefully finish it this week. I have 4 days of riding the bus. Is that right? Yes. 4 days of riding the bus, and hopefully we'll get that finished before I travel. And I'm not sure what's up next. And I'm not sure if I will alter that and read something on my Kindle instead of trying to carry a book around with me. So that is what I have been reading. And let's see, what else? What I've been up to. I've interspersed a little bit here and there, but as I mentioned, I went to the Texas Library Association Conference this past week in Austin. I stayed with some good friends there, which in some ways was really good because I didn't have to pay and it was nice to be with friends and hang out and have someone to eat dinner with and things like that. On the other hand, they live in far south Austin, and the convention center is in central Austin, so I had to deal with traffic every day. But I live in Houston, I'm used to traffic, so that really wasn't that big a deal. I didn't do any of the evening events that come along with a conference just because none of my good buddies from work were there. I didn't really see all that many people that I knew well enough to hang out with most of the trip, so I just went back and hung out with my friends, which was perfectly fine. I'll talk about, I had this down for in the kitchen, but I will talk about the food in this part. So let's start with that. I'll just do a little conference recap. I got to Austin on Tuesday, and I got there earlier. The first sessions didn't start until 2. So I got there around 11 and had lunch with a friend, a longtime friend from Houston who was also there at the conference. We met up at a place called 24 Diner, which is on North Lamar in Austin. It's right across from Book People, which is my favorite bookstore ever. And my friend had never been she'd never been to Book People. So we had decided that we would meet for lunch and then go and explore the bookstore a little bit. 24 Diner is a diner. Austin's full of trendy restaurants, and this is no exception. I ordered a mixed green salad and had them add chicken, and I was a little disappointed because the added chicken, it wasn't chunks of chicken, it was more like chicken salad, and I'm not a chicken salad fan. It was not bad, but it wasn't what I expected. So I ate probably about half the salad, and my friend actually had the same thing, and she ate all of hers, so this was obviously me. She had wanted to split a milkshake, so we ordered a chocolate peanut butter milkshake, and it was so cute because they have these little, I guess they're almost juice glasses, and instead of bringing one big glass that we would have to share from, she actually had them divided into two of these glasses, and they put whipped cream and little chocolate chips on top of both of them, and they were just adorable. It was a very nice presentation. And our waitress was actually, she was very pleased with herself. She was very cute. So that was 24 Diner. It was okay. Not my favorite place in Austin, but it was okay. Then we walked over to Book People, and we didn't spend just a ton of time. We chatted more than anything. And both of us are librarians, and I love bookstores. I love going in, and I love spending time in bookstores, but I've gotten to the point where I really don't buy books all that often just because I've just got so many. And unless it's something that I'm just really, really wanting, or if it's a gift or something like that, I just don't buy much. Now, Book People also has a ton of gift type items and t-shirts and socks, and it's a great store. But this was the beginning of the conference, and I didn't really want to spend a lot of money because I knew that I would be going to the exhibit halls and that type of thing. So I didn't actually buy anything. After that, I went to the conference, got checked in, went to a couple of sessions, and then headed back to, let me make sure I'm, oh well. No, they had a welcome party that was in the exhibit halls, and if you've been to conferences before, you know that you have the big exhibit hall where the vendors set up and try to sell you products and all of that stuff. Well, library conventions are probably a special thing because you have a lot of publishers who are there who give away advanced reading copies of their books. And it can be kind of a madhouse. It's actually sometimes a little... Sometimes I feel like... it's like a gluttony. People are just so, I don't want to say greedy because that sounds bad, but they just grab indiscriminately. And I have absolutely been guilty of this. I've been to enough conferences now though I have so many advanced reading copies that I picked up at conferences that I still haven't read that I feel that I hold myself back. You know, I really use restraint. I try to look at the book before I grab it and see if it's something that I actually want to read. For one thing, I'm wasting these publishers' resources if I'm grabbing stuff that I'm never going to read. And I have so many things I want to read already. I just don't need to add something that I'm not that interested in anyway. So I went and It was so crowded, and there were so many people that I stayed for maybe 20 minutes. I don't think I stayed much longer than that, and just I had had it with the crowds. I knew that the exhibit halls would still be open over the course of the week, and that I could go in then. And so I left, and we went. My friends and I went to a place called Sawyer and Company, which is in East Austin. It's on East. Oh gosh, I think it's on. It's either on 7th or Cesar Chavez. I think it might be Cesar Chavez, but it's far east, really close to 183, if I'm saying this for the people who are familiar with Austin. And it's the decor was very, I would go with like late 50s, early 60s, kind of like the spindly legged furniture with a lot of like geometric designs, and I don't know how else to explain it, but it was funky and cool, and the food was really good. It was like Louisiana themed, so I had fried shrimp and cheese grits, and I ordered some fried pickles, which were delicious, but every single time I order fried pickles, I end up eating too much, and they end up making my stomach upset. So I've got to learn to not do that, or to do that when there are enough people who are going to eat a significant amount of them, because I did not really feel very good that night. But the food was delicious. And then, so the next day I got up and went to the conference. We had the general session. The first speaker was David Baldacci, the legal thriller author. I've never read any David Baldacci, actually, but I really want to after this session, because he was a really good speaker. He talked about how much research he puts into his work, and he was just really funny, and I would really like to read some of his. So I went to that, and then I went to a couple of sessions. You know, I'm not going to go into those because those aren't of interest to anybody, really. But, well, I mean, there may be some librarians who are interested. But anyway, so I went to a few sessions. And after the last session I went back to the exhibit hall. And I walked around a little bit, and I'm not in a position where I am making purchases for my library. I'm in a very techie position, and most of the vendors are publishers, that type of thing. So I went by and talked to a vendor that we deal closely with for our mobile app. And so I made that connection. And other than that, there really wasn't that much I wanted to do. So I walked around for a little while and then decided I'd had enough for the day. I went back to my friend's house. And that night we ended up going to a place called Saps, SAP apostrophe S, which is a Thai restaurant. Apparently there used to be Mams, or there are still Mams, M-A-M apostrophe S. But I think maybe they were a husband-wife team, and maybe there was a divorce. I'm not exactly sure. I used to know the story, but I don't remember it now. So now there are Saps, but there are also Mams locations. Well, we went to Saps, which is on, I think it's on Westgate Boulevard. It's in South Austin near Ben White, and it's really good Thai food. I had actually, I just had Tom Kha Gha, which is the kind of sour coconut milk-based soup. I had that with some rice with some tofu, and it was delicious. It was super spicy. So I probably ate about half of it with a lot of rice. And since, you know, my friends weren't going to eat it, and I wasn't planning to be around for more meals, I ended up kind of, I won't say I wasted, well, I could not eat all of it, and I couldn't bring it back. But that was really good. And then Thursday, went back to the conference, and this was what a day. I mean, this was just a crazy day. So I got there, got my coffee, and sat and was reading my email, and had an email from someone who was unable to get into the website. And I started looking into it, and the website was not loading on my phone, and ended up talking to our communications director, who had emailed me about it, And we came, went and talked, and basically they were, there had been a power outage at our central library, and it had affected the servers, you know, for the website and, you know, other stuff, as well as other things in the building. They were trying to decide whether to open the building, and basically he just needed me, if they weren't going to open since the website wasn't up, I needed to put it on social media. And we talked for a while. It was fine. You know, there wasn't a big level of concern. These things happen. We just moved on. I had contacted my two colleagues were on their way to Austin because we were presenting in that afternoon about our website, actually. And they were already on the road, and they ended up pulling over and were trying to troubleshoot the issue. And didn't really worry that much, figured everything would be up before too long. And I was in a session where actually a former colleague was presenting, and I got a text that my two colleagues were going to have to turn around and go back to Houston. And I had a fairly minor panic attack because all of a sudden I was the one that was there who was having to do the presentation. Now, I did remember very quickly, I did have another coworker who was going to be there, texted her, she was almost to Austin, it was fine, but I was really kind of freaking out because I had not prepared to give the whole presentation, I had only prepared my part, and it turned out okay. I looked at the presentation, realized, I mean, this is a project that I've been involved with from the very beginning, and I know my stuff. The only part I didn't know was the super techy stuff that our web developer was going to talk about, and, you know, that's okay. So ultimately, we gave the presentation. And it went off really well. I was very candid about the fact that, you know, two of our presenters weren't there, and that, you know, there were portions of it that I just wasn't super familiar with, and I didn't feel comfortable talking to. So, you know, if there were any questions about that they could email us, and we would be happy to answer questions, you know, that type of thing. And I had a lot of support from my fellow co-workers. There were a lot of people from the library who came to see the presentation and were very supportive, and other people in our audience were very supportive. So it went off really well. I mean, we ended up with smiles instead of me in tears, so that was good. It was a fairly traumatic experience, but it was something. Now I can say I've done that. I got through that, so I'm stronger for it. After that, the coworker who was able to make it, and I went and had some barbecue at a barbecue place in downtown Austin called Ironworks. It was okay. It was within walking distance. There is better barbecue in Austin, although I hear that the city council passed an ordinance about barbecue restaurants having to filter smoke, so that could end up causing a big issue with the Austin barbecue scene. So stay tuned for that. Then I went to, there was another general session, and the speaker for that was Cokie Roberts, who is a journalist. If you've never heard of her, I don't know. She's been entrenched in politics for a long time. She's a political journalist, author. Her mother was the ambassador to the Vatican during Clinton's term. Her father was a congressman. Her mother took over, he was a congressman from Louisiana who died in a plane crash, and her mother ended up in his seat. So huge political family, and she's an excellent speaker. And so heard her speak, and then there was the book cart drill team, which is the funniest thing I have ever seen. So if you were ever in marching band and you know the configurations that you had to march to, it's just like that, except you're dancing with these book carts that are decorated to music. Usually it's like parodies. You may have seen some of the library parody videos that that people have done, taking popular songs and reworking them. And that's what they had done here. And it was really cute. I did put up a couple of videos, or at least one video, I think, in Instagram. So if you want to take a look at my account and see that, it's really funny. Unfortunately, I had a terrible headache at this point, so I didn't get the full, you know, experience. But that was the end of my day. I ended up going, we were supposed to actually have dinner at a place called Russian House with the vendor who did our website. But because my coworkers canceled, I asked them to please cancel the dinner, because that just was not something I was able to do on my own. I am an introvert, and I had enough that day. And I'm really glad I did cancel, because I really did not feel very good. My head was not in a happy place. So I was really disappointed to not get to meet them, but I was glad to be able to just kind of go home, or go to my friend's home. So I went home, let them know that I was actually going to be around for dinner, and we ended up going to, I've mentioned it a few times, Austin Pizza Garden, which is in Oak Hill, which is also South Austin. And I'm not going to go into details about that, because I have mentioned it at least twice on the podcast before. The one thing I will mention is that we got this garlic bread that had cheese and like a pesto on it that was amazing. So that was really good. And then, so the conference ended on Friday. The weather had been bad in Houston all week long. I mean, it was terrible. And it was fine in Austin. There were some storms on Thursday afternoon, but I missed those because I was in the convention center. But the weather looked really bad on Friday. I had hoped to go up to the Happy U, which is in Jonestown, which is north of Austin, and meet Heidi, who's a Knitty Girl, or Knitty Girl One. And I just, with the weather, and I was just ready to get home, but really the weather was the thing. I had looked at the weather, and there was, you know, a period of time where there were supposed to be storms in Austin, and then there were supposed to be storms in Houston right around rush hour. And I decided that the best thing to do was to head back early so that I would miss both the Austin storms and the Houston storms. And I'm really, really, really glad I did that. I had looked at the weather in the morning, and it actually looked like it wasn't going to be bad, but I got home early afternoon, and then I forgot to mention, I was going to go to some sessions in the morning, but decided to leave early. That was because I started out talking about the conference. Anyway, I got home early afternoon, and then Jimmy and Eli got home from school late afternoon. Laura had stayed with a friend to go to a concert at school, and Jimmy and I decided to go out for dinner. And we left, it was actually pretty early. We went for an early dinner. It was not quite 5, I think, when we left. And it actually started raining a little bit while we were on our way down there. We ate, and it was raining fairly hard when we went home, but the heavens opened after we got home, luckily. And it was bad. It was pretty bad storm and flooding all over the city. And Laura's friend's dad actually tried to bring her home. I was really not happy about this because, I mean, he's lived in Houston as long as we have, or longer. Actually, he's lived in Houston his whole life. He knows what the roads are like. And it was starting to flood, and they got about a block away, realized how bad it was, and went home, which I'm really glad, because it was even worse down by our house. But I was really, really glad that I had made the decision to come home when I did, because I would have gotten home right in the middle of all of this, and it was not pleasant at all. So that was my week in a nutshell. The weekend itself, Saturday was fairly nice. We did manage to get to go for a walk. There was a little rain, but we were able to fit in a walk later. And then yesterday was absolutely beautiful until late afternoon, early evening. And we got in a walk, watched the dog, which is traumatic for the poor thing, but then decided to take her for a walk to dry her off. And it was kind of hot, and she almost couldn't make it. We walked about a little over a mile and a half, and she was dragging towards the end. I guess she's starting to show her age, which is sad. But we went home, and then not long after that, it stormed again. And it was actually, the storm last night was really bad. We got really lucky. If you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen a picture I posted of the sky from our front window. The sky was kind of a purpley color that was very eerie. It looked very tornadic. It was really, I don't like storms, and I hadn't seen the sky like this in a very long time. It was really disconcerting, but we got really lucky. We watched the radar, and it just kind of split right around us. So we got a little bit of hail, but we didn't get slammed. And then we looked at it, and then it reformed not long after it passed us. So we got really, really lucky. One of our neighbors across the street lost a tree. We're not sure if it was struck by lightning or if it twisted and fell or what, but they lost a big oak tree, which is, again, that's really sad. But hopefully the weather it looks like the weather is nice now and supposed to hold for the week. Looking forward to good weather for my trip to Washington, D.C. I'm leaving Sunday. And I should get there around 11:15. I've already made plans with a couple of people to have lunch and go to Fiberspace. If you are interested in meeting up, check the Ravelry group. There's a thread that's called Summer Yarns is Traveling. Take a look at that and see if you have, if it's possible that you'd like to meet up. I have Sunday afternoon, which I have plans, but you're more than welcome to join us. And I have planned Sunday evening. And then Monday and Tuesday, I'm in conference until late afternoon. And, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably be tired and will end up grabbing something to eat and going back to my hotel. But I think probably one of those nights I will check out Looped because my conference is at the Washington Hilton, which is in your DuPont Circle. So I will probably check out Looped before I hit the subway to go back to my hotel. And then Wednesday, I'm done a little bit earlier, and I'm going to take advantage of that and do some of the touristy things. I'll probably have time to hit, maybe one museum and check out a couple of the memorials. And if anybody wants to tag along, you're welcome. But, that's the one day I think I'll have to actually explore a little bit. So I'm going to take advantage of that. But that is pretty much it. I guess it was the conference recap that did me in, but I'm still at 52 minutes. I plan to record again next week. I will be in Washington, like I said, but I'll be in a hotel room by myself. I will have met up with friends on Sunday, so I'll probably try to do a recording Sunday night, and we'll see what my Wi-Fi connection is like about whether or not I can actually get it uploaded, but I will hopefully, if I don't do that then I will definitely record in 2 weeks. And I will talk to y'all then. I hope everybody is having better weather than we had this week and that you're getting lots of knitting time. Bye.